Hello and welcome to AA Beyond Belief, the podcast. I'm your host, John S. Today's episode was recorded on August 6, 2016, at a celebration for the anniversaries of two AA groups in Kansas City, Missouri. Freethinkers in AA Kansas City celebrated 1 year, and the We Agnostics group celebrated its second anniversary. Amy P. chaired the meeting, and Roger C. was the featured speaker. This was a wonderful way to celebrate the anniversaries of our groups, and it's nice to be able to share this time with you. I hope you enjoy it.
My name is Roger. I'm an alcoholic. It's an honor for me to be here this evening, and I'd like to thank John and Kevin and Jim and the We Agnostics and Freethinkers in particular for this wonderful, wonderful experience. What is AA? I want to start off the day with a quote by Bill Wilson from a speech he delivered in New York City in 1965. It is my understanding of AA. Here it is. In AA, we are supposed to be bound together in the kinship of a universal suffering. Therefore, the full liberty to practice any creed or principle or therapy should be a first consideration. Hence, let us not pressure anyone with individual or even collective views. Let us instead accord to each other the respect that is due to every human being as he tries to make his way towards the light. Let us always try to be inclusive rather than exclusive. Let us remember that each alcoholic among us is a member of AA so long as he or she so declares. So now you understand perfectly how I think about AA, and that will perhaps illuminate what follows. Rejection, creed, and dogma. Rejection. We start today with the feeling of rejection, of being rejected. Have any of you ever felt rejected? You know, rejected by a lover, a friend, a wife, a husband, rejected for a job that you think was made just for you, thrown out of a house, a relationship, trashed, insulted, abandoned. Can we have a show of hands here of anybody who's had that experience? All of you. On Tuesday, May 31st, 2011, two agnostic groups were booted out of the Greater Toronto Intergroup. Thrown out, rejected, trashed. That's where today my story begins. The next day, on Wednesday, I emailed the Toronto Star newspaper and later that day talked to a reporter, Leslie Scrivener. Later that weekend, an article appeared on the front page of the Toronto Star. On the top of the front page, "Does religion belong at AA? Fight over God splits Toronto AA groups." On Thursday, I went to the evening meeting of my home group, Beyond Belief, the first agnostic group ever in Canada, founded on September 24th, 2009, and one of the two groups booted out of the Greater Toronto Area Intergroup, GTAI. There was, as per usual, some 24 people present. They were, to put it mildly, my friends, brokenhearted. There was a fear in the room that the group and the meeting were as good as dead. If it did not die immediately, it would wither away over time. After all, we were not now on any lists. We were rejected. Where will I go? But I love this meeting. They hate us. What am I going to do now? That was the mood as I entered the room. Some were crying. One of them was Catherine, a wonderfully talented Canadian actress. I had sat beside her and chatted with her at her first ever AA meeting at Beyond Belief, some 6 months earlier. After that first meeting, she'd given me a big hug and said, "Roger, I have a new home." Now, her head was on the table, and she sobbed. So what's it all about? Dear friends, why did they do it? Why did Intergroup boot the two agnostic groups out? The answer is really simple. Creed and dogma. Legal action has been taken in Toronto against Intergroup. The issue was taken to the Human Rights Tribunal of Ontario. Founded in 1986, here is a principle defended by the tribunal. Every person has the right to be free from discrimination or harassing behavior that is based on religion, or which arises because the person who is the target of the behavior does not share the same faith. This principle extends to situations where the person who is the target of such behavior has no religious beliefs whatsoever, including atheists and agnostics, who may, in these circumstances, benefit from the protections set out by the code. On February 17th of this year, the Ontario Human Rights Tribunal wrote, and I'm quoting, and it was an interim decision of the Human Rights Tribunal, the GTAI, Greater Toronto Area Intergroup, submits that evidence indicates that its purpose is to practice the 12 steps and to practice a belief in God. In order to be a part of GTAI, a group must be prepared. A group must be prepared to practice its 12 steps, and thus the members of the group must have a belief in God. Of course, if you believe that is a definition of AA, and that AA was never meant for non-believers, what Intergroup did makes perfect sense. Its decision is beyond reproach. Forget about the fact that the 12-step program is only suggested. Forget about tradition three. Throw the responsibility out of the room with the atheists and agnostics. In 1961, in an article in the Grapevine, Bill Wilson wrote, "In AA's first years, I all but ruined the whole undertaking. God, as I understood him, had to be for everybody. Sometimes my aggression was subtle, and sometimes it was crude. But either way, it was damaging, perhaps fatally so, to numbers of non-believers. Perhaps fatally so. I know, as many do, that it is not a question of perhaps. Folks, I will be coming back to the issue of dogma later, but right now I would ask you to join me in a moment of silence for all those non-believers who have left the rooms of AA and been fatally damaged by a sometimes subtle and often crude dogmatism, which I'm afraid is far too often a part of our fellowship of AA. History. Now I'm going to talk about history. When the groups were rooted out, two things happened. One, I began to write, I thought, I'm going to write a history of agnostic groups in AA. I thought, you know, there was a long weekend, I'd be done by the end of the long weekend. You know, but I thought, this should be written down. Well, there was nothing. I couldn't find a thing. Anywhere on the internet. On the internet, I couldn't find a thing. So I phoned Michelle Mirza at the General Service Office. She's the chief archivist. And I said, Michelle, help me. They had nothing. They had nothing. So it was like a really incredible undertaking, and it took me months to write the thing. But what a pleasure it was. Did I ever learn a great deal? It was astonishing. One of the people I met while I was doing this was Ernie Kurtz. Ernie wrote the book, Not God, A History of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a must read. It's a wonderful book. Not God in the title means that they knew not to play God. Not God, A History of Alcoholics Anonymous. Ernie was a priest. Had been a priest. He was an alcoholic. He was so supportive of me, this author of this wonderful book that I had never read before, that I was able to continue on and do the job. I couldn't have done it without Ernie, without his support, because I felt I was running off. Nobody would talk to me. I would contact all kinds of people, and they just, you know, you don't know, you don't. No. But Ernie was highly supportive, and so that book, or that article, essay, was written. Now, the other thing that happened is I started a website. I was part of starting a website called AA Toronto Agnostics, and all we wanted to do was to list the time and place of the meetings, because now they were no longer, that was no longer done by the intergroup. It evolved. After 6 months, it became AA Agnostica. And people from around the world were contributing articles. And it was just inspiring. And it continued on. AA Agnostica began in June, mid-June 2011. And actually continued for 5 full years. Until mid-June of this year, when I thought, that's it, you know, it's time to move on. 360 articles written by 169 people, I believe, from around the world, and a great website which will stay up forever. But it also was very inspiring to me as well, just to get the, you know, as John and I have talked about, just to get the input from other people is so precious. It's so valuable. Okay. So now let's go back, way back, and look at some of the secular parts of the history of Alcoholics Anonymous, all of which were generated by working on this, A History of Agnostic Groups in AA. Let's start with Jim Burwell. Jim was a member of one of the first two groups of AA. He was a member of the group in New York that met at Bill Wilson's house. and he was anti-religious in a ferocious kind of way. So much so that members of his group were hoping he'd either get drunk or go away. Jim was part of a big battle which took place in 1939 over Alcoholics Anonymous, the Big Book. Thanks to Jim, two key changes were made. First, the word God was changed to God as we understood him in two of the 12 steps. Second, and most importantly, the word suggested was added to the phrase, here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. I can't even begin to explain how important that word has been over the years. And of course, Jim is credited with Tradition 3. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Over the years, he was a very important part of AA and started a number of groups and meetings across the United States, always remaining, if you will, faithful to his lack of faith. It speaks to the nature of the fellowship in its early days that his membership was never, ever questioned. That was our friend Jim Burwell. So now let me talk about the first secular AA meeting ever. It took place 40 years after the origins of AA in 1935. It took place in 1975 in Chicago. That's the first meeting. And it was founded by a guy by the name of Wilson, but not Bill, Don Wilson. In the early 60s, he had tried AA and had attended meetings for 6 months, but left, put off by the religiosity. I was unable to work it, he said, because of the religious language in which the 12 steps are couched. He came back a decade later. His drinking had almost killed him. And I talked to friends of his in Chicago, and it had almost killed him. This time he decided to tough it out no matter how hard. Some of us may be familiar with that. After about 4 years of sobriety, in the autumn of 1974, he gave a speech at the Unitarian Church, an agnostic in AA, How It Works for Me. This talk was well received and he ended up delivering it in several Unitarian Universalist churches. And in fact, one of the ministers encouraged him to start an AA meeting for atheists and agnostics. The first ever meeting in AA, explicitly for non-believers, was held on January 7th, 1975, in Chicago, in a church. The name of the meeting was Alcoholics Anonymous for Atheists and Agnostics, which was very quickly shortened to Quad A. And Quad A has had a hugely interesting history in Chicago. In 1995, an article was written about it in the Chicago Tribune. While Quad A was celebrating its 20th anniversary. It's a wonderful article. It's kind of the equivalent of the Jack Alexander article published in the Saturday Evening Post in 1941, only this one is for we agnostics in AA, and it's called A Different Road. That's the name of the article, and it begins like this. 6 o'clock Saturday night, and the drunks are having a party. This is news. It is when the party is in Chicago's Second Unitarian Church on Berry Street. The drunks are sober, and the party is to commemorate the 20th anniversary of a controversial 12-step recovery group, Alcoholics Anonymous, AA for Atheists and Agnostics, known in AA circles as Quad A. AAAA. Today, Quad A is going strong. There are 12 meetings in Chicagoland. They're listed by the Chicago Intergroup. In fact, one of the search options when you're looking for a meeting on the Chicago Intergroup website is called Atheist Agnostic. So you can actually look for those secular meetings in Chicago. And there's something else I wanted to mention. We generally get the impression that Santa Monica in 2014 was the first convention or the first collective gathering of agnostics in AA. Not so. It's wrong. On September 13, 2009, a Quad A Unity Conference was held, and it was called Beyond Alcohol and Addiction, Sobriety, Sanity, and Serenity. Over 100 people attended it. And I've got a 16-page leaflet, which was sent to me by Chuck Kay in Chicago while I was working on a history of agnostic groups in AA. And it's wonderful. It contains, for example, the conference schedule, which included a number of speakers, terrific speakers. It includes an article about a man of distinction, our friend Don Wilson. It contains a copy of the 1995 article written in the Chicago Tribune called A Different Road. It contains several versions of secular steps. And in the end, it decides to describe AA in 8 words, which is like, you know, 4 times 2 words. The first words are, quit drinking. Mm-hmm. 2 words. The second 2 words are, trust AA. The third 2 words is, clean house. And the last 2 words, help others. A pretty simple understanding of AA. So that was the first agnostic meeting in Chicago, January 7th, 1975. It would take 5 years for the next group of meetings to start. And that happened in California. That happened in Los Angeles. And that happened because of a wonderful guy by the name of Charlie Polachek. If you want to read about Charlie, there's an article on AA Agnostica called Father of We Agnostics Dies. I talked to Charlie on the phone. He died at the age of 98. He told me, he was about 96 or 97 at the time, very proud, he says, I am the daddy of We Agnostics groups. Because he started the first group ever called We Agnostics. So you guys have a daddy. He started in 1980 in Hollywood in Los Angeles. It was very hard for me to find Charlie. I want to tell you, very hard. I talked to people who would have known but didn't want to tell me, quite frankly. And there was always a lot of people I talked to, even agnostics in AA, who pushed me away. They thought this was going to be too controversial, this history of We Agnostics in AA. And so, strangely enough, the fellow who told me about Charlie Polachek was James Christopher, who started SOS. When I talked to Charlie on the phone again, he was quite surprised that I was writing an article, A History of Agnostic Groups in AA, and his response was, really? It was so exciting to him that we go public about this. It was so exhilarating to him that this would cease to be a secret within AA. Charlie described himself as both an atheist, and a number of people I talked to described him as one of the most spiritual human beings they had ever met. I contacted his daughter, Angeliska, shortly after his death. And I'm throwing this in because I just like it. She did a post online and talked about Charlie's favorite haiku. And it goes like this. In the midst of a meadow, a skylark singing, free from everything. I like haikus. Around the year 2000, Charlie moved to Austin, Texas, where he again started a meeting called We Agnostics. He became friends with Nick H., who then started the second meeting for agnostics and atheists in Austin called Children of Chaos. Nick is the chair of the host committee that is organizing a convention for We Agnostics, Atheists, and Freethinkers in AA, which is going to be held this November, November 11th to 13th in Austin. I will also note that Intergroup for Austin, Hill County it's called, also lists atheists, agnostics as a meeting type. So if you're looking for a meeting for atheists and agnostics in Austin, there's a category called atheists/agnostics that you can click on. By the way, the meeting that Charlie started in Hollywood in 1980 still meets every Tuesday, and it's going strong. In fact, I'll mention that the person who started was responsible for the first convention for agnostics and atheists in AA, Dorothy, that's her home group. AA and agnostic AA flourished in California in ways that it didn't flourish in other areas. So now, I'd like to talk about New York. Because we had these meetings in Chicago and we had these meetings in California, but there was nothing in New York, strangely enough. So, a guy by the name of Harry, a Californian, placed an ad in, are you familiar with this, Free Inquiry? It's a magazine. It's still running strong. It's a magazine that continues to exist today. It's published today for atheists and agnostics. So Harry wrote this little article, little ad actually, in Free Inquiry. He knew that the thing was circulated throughout America, and his ad was addressed to atheists and agnostics in AA, who were having trouble with the religious nature of many AA meetings. So Harry does this ad. And strangely enough, three people in New York answer it. They send a little letter to Harry. They didn't know each other, but they wrote the letter to Harry. Harry writes back and explains how the agnostic meeting worked, the formats and all that stuff, and then he connects them together. They are Ada H., John Y., and David L. The first meeting was held at Ada's home on September 10th, 1986. It was called We Atheists. It eventually moved to the Jan Hus Church, where it still meets today. And the name was changed to We Humanists. The three, Ada, John, and David, met together for over a decade at that meeting. For over a decade, they went to these meetings together. Thank you, Harry in California. David eventually moved to Pittsburgh. John Y. died on March 10, 2003. He was co-founder of the Secular Humanist Society of New York City. A lifelong resident of the Bronx and a veteran of World War II. Born in 1921, he got sober in 1962. Ada died in August 2005. At the age of 83, she had more than 30 years of sobriety. She's a very passionate woman, a socialist, and a very wealthy New Yorker. On her tombstone, it says, Ada started an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting for atheists and agnostics. Today there are 16 meetings in New York City for agnostics, atheists, and freethinkers in AA. Under the search again for meetings, there is something called a special interest category, where you can click on agnostic and again find these meetings. My next section is called The Failure of AA. Please don't be disturbed by the word failure. Every organization, every person experiences failure. Indeed, failure has been a big part of my own life, especially when I was a drinking alcoholic. Now, I could make you quite a list of failures. But failure should not ever kill our hope for, well, success and growth in the future. As far as I can understand it, AA stopped growing as a fellowship sometime in the mid-70s. After that, it started to become more religious, more dogmatic. But in the mid-70s, it published two significant documents. One was the book Living Sober, which was first printed in 1975. It's a great, mostly secular book. The other was the pamphlet, Do You Think You Are Different?, published in 1976. It contains one article by an atheist and another by a self-described agnostic. And that's it. That's all. Nothing supportive or even sympathetic has been written or published by or for a non-believer in AA ever since. We're talking 40 years now. And it's not just the support of non-Christian alcoholics that, in my view, AA has failed. As a fellowship devoted to helping alcoholics, it has failed to keep up with science and its understanding of the causes and treatments for alcohol abuse. Again, in 1965, Bill Wilson said, "Research has already come up with significant and helpful findings, and research will do far more." And it has. But you wouldn't know it if your sole source was AA. But back to our agnostic AA members. Back in 1976, a subcommittee of the AA Literature Committee recommended that AA compile and write, quote, "a pamphlet for agnostics and or atheists," unquote. In a report presented to the full literature committee in July, they wrote that such a pamphlet, and I love these words, quote, "is needed to assure non-believers that they are not merely deviants, but full participating members in the AA fellowship without qualification." The literature committee decided not to recommend such a pamphlet to the 1977 General Service Conference. And on it goes. In 1982, the literature committee again declined to pursue a pamphlet for non-believers in AA. In 1996, the idea of such a pamphlet made it to the conference, but was rejected. The trustees' literature committee received a request from We Agnostics Group in New York in July 1997, and I spoke to the woman who was responsible for that request, asking that the committee consider publishing a pamphlet titled, "AA is Not a Religion." The committee declined to pursue this pamphlet. A similar proposal was rejected at the 2001 conference. And on and on and on it goes. So what is it that's going on? It's called dogma, my friends. Creed and dogma. Let's go back to the Greater Toronto Intergroup. In a document released on May 16th of this year, in response to the interim decision of the Human Rights Tribunal of Ontario, the GTAI argues that even though the steps are a suggested program, they are the only program in AA and must be followed by every group within the GTA. Not afraid to describe this belief as its creed, the GTAI goes on to insist that the 12 steps must be followed exactly as written. Otherwise, the group will be excommunicated. Expulsed. Now, not even the author of the steps believed that. In AA Comes of Age, the co-founder of our precious fellowship wrote, "We must remember that AA steps are suggestions only. We must remember. A belief in them as they stand is not at all a requirement for membership among us." This liberty has made AA available to thousands who never would have tried at all had we insisted on the 12 steps just as written. You would think that this would mean something to the GTAI, but apparently not. Bill saw it coming. He saw an AA that was becoming increasingly dogmatic. Again, from the speech he gave to the General Service Conference in New York in 1965, here is Bill Wilson. Quote, "It's a historical fact that practically all groupings of men and women tend to become dogmatic. Their beliefs and practices harden and sometimes freeze." Unquote. He continued, quote, "Simply because we have convictions that work very well for us, it becomes quite easy to assume that we have all of the truth. Whenever this brand of arrogance develops, we are sure to become aggressive. We demand agreement with us. We play God." The Greater Toronto Area Intergroup loves playing God. "This isn't good dogma," Bill continued. "This is very bad dogma. It could be especially destructive for us of AA to indulge in this sort of thing." Unquote. You think? Now, I want to make something clear. We all have beliefs. There are no exceptions. I have my own beliefs. What is wrong is forcing our views on other people. What is wrong is not permitting others to own and voice their own convictions. You know, Bill Wilson understood that too. Quote, "All people must necessarily rally to the call of their own particular convictions. And we of AA are no exception." Moreover, he continued, "all people should have the right to voice their convictions." Pretty simple stuff, you would think. Moving forward. Now I'm going to flip to the optimistic side, okay? And the first thing I want to talk about is literature. We agnostics and atheists have made such enormous progress in so many ways, and certainly this is one of them. But I'm going to limit myself to talking about just two books. I have a friend you may have heard of, Joe C. He was one of the people who started Beyond Belief in Toronto, the first agnostic meeting in Canada. That was my home group until I started We Agnostics Group in Hamilton, Ontario. And you know, I didn't want to start a group in Hamilton, Ontario, because I would travel from Hamilton to the Beyond Belief meeting. It'd take me 2 hours to get there, 2 hours to get back. You know, and sometimes I wonder, oh, do you really need to go? But you know, after I'd sit through the meeting and listen to people share, I would feel an inner peace and strength and hope and optimism and joy in looking forward to the next days of my life as a result of that meeting. So I didn't want to start one in Hamilton because this was a lifesaver to me. I talked with someone today and we shared that word. But actually, We Agnostics in Hamilton has worked out the same way. So I'm delighted with it. Anyway, in 2013, Joe and I were in an incredible competition. We're dear friends, but we compete. He was working to publish Beyond Belief, Agnostic Musings for 12-Step Life, which he had spent 5 years writing. And I was trying to publish The Little Book, a collection of alternative 12 steps. He beat me by about 2 weeks. Beyond Belief has turned out to be hugely helpful. It's a book of daily reflections. I know a number of groups across the world that use it. We'll read the daily reflection and then have a discussion at their meeting following that reading. So it's a very, very popular book. The Little Book just came to be. Gabe S. in England, who had written articles on A Agnostica, had a collection of alternative 12 steps, and he sent them to me, and I thought, what an interesting idea, a collection of alternative 12 steps. At A Agnostica, we started looking online for secular interpretations of the 12 steps and found some terrific versions. And then we added a part two. Four very concise secular interpretations of each of the 12 steps by famous authors. And I contacted each and every one of them and was just delighted and honored to talk to them. One of them was Stephanie Covington, who wrote A Woman's Way Through the 12 Steps. And another was Gabor Mate, a Canadian, who had written In the Realm of Hungry Ghosts, which is one of my favorite books. And then I wrote a part three, A History of the Origins of the Steps, and we published it. I love the book. I had to mention it today because for groups like the GTA Intergroup, it's heresy. Pure heresy. And for everybody else, it is diverse, gender respectful, equitable, and most importantly, on the contemporary side of life. It ain't 75 years old. AA Agnostic has published 5 other books for atheists and agnostics in AA. And of course, there have been other books, such as John Lauritsen's A Freethinker in Alcoholics Anonymous and Mariah Hornbacher's Waiting, A Nonbeliever's Higher Power. And she published that in 2011. And that was really the beginning. There was nothing before that. Nothing in print before that. Another book that I published a second edition of, The Alternative 12 Steps, A Secular Guide to Recovery, was actually published by two women in 1991, but it was out of print. And I managed to contact them and publish it again in a second edition in 2014. And I am very proud to announce today that A Agnostica will be publishing another book in the next few months. This one will be by a dear friend sitting in this very room, Thomas Brinson, and it may very well be called Each Breath a Gift, a memoir with reflections on a life of recovery. Stand up, Thomas. Thomas has written a number of articles for AA Agnostica and for AA Beyond Belief. He knows of what he speaks, and it promises to be a super book. Let me talk about websites. Spaces for agnostics, atheists, and freethinkers in AA. There are all kinds of them. Rebellion Dogs Publishing, Joe C., manages that website. There is AA Agnostica, which began in 2011 in Toronto, as I mentioned, and stopped posting articles regularly on Sundays after 5 full years in June of this year. It remains online with a total of 360 excellent articles that are still there for everybody to read. AA Agnostica was succeeded by AA Beyond Belief by my good friend John S., who is now doing that website and podcasts. The super editor for articles on AA Beyond Belief is also here today, Doris A. You might even hear this talk on AA Beyond Belief. It's a terrific website. And certainly, John and Doris have earned a hearty round of applause for it. Then there are 25 websites for individuals or groups of agnostic meetings, including 2 for this area as well. So there are all kinds of websites, all kinds of information. Meetings. Let's talk about meetings. We focus a lot on meetings at the beginning of this talk, when they started, where they started, how they started. When my essay, A History of Agnostic Groups in AA, was completed in 2012, 4 years ago, there was a total of 87 agnostic meetings worldwide listed on the New York website. Today, and I just talked to Deirdre a few days ago, she manages the New York website, and asked, how many meetings are there? Today, there are over 300 meetings for agnostics and atheists in AA. We've added more than 200 in a few years. We have gone from agnostic meetings in 3 states to agnostic meetings in 40 states in the United States and 5 provinces in Canada. And let's congratulate 2 in particular who are celebrating birthdays today, right here and right now in Kansas City. Freethinkers in AA celebrating 1 year, we agnostics celebrating 2 years. Our hearty congratulations. In 2011, when they had the boots put to them, there were 2 meetings for agnostics and atheists in the Toronto area. Today there are 13. It's also very fantastic. Conventions and conferences. Well, the first one was in Chicago in 2009 and the second in Santa Monica in November 2014. A superb convention. Let me say that once again. Then there was a conference in Phoenix, Arizona in November 2015 and one in Olympia, Washington that I attended in January of this year. And now we're all getting ready for a convention in Austin, Texas coming up this November. So there are plenty of reasons to be hopeful. We are going strong, my friends. We are with the tide, as it were. I'm very near the end of this talk now. And I want to end it yet again with references to Bill Wilson's talk in 1965. He knew, even then, that AA was failing people. He knew that some were walking out of AA meetings and never coming back. Without much doubt, he said, a million alcoholics have approached AA during the last 30 years. He estimated that about 350 or 400,000, quote, of us are now recovered from our malady through the fellowship of AA. But he continued, so we can very soberly ask ourselves, what became of the 600,000 who left? Another quote from Bill. How much and how often did we fail them? And then he continued, our very first concern should be with those sufferers that we are still unable to reach. And he identified those who were being failed. Quote, newcomers are approaching us at the rate of tens of thousands yearly. They represent almost every belief and attitude imaginable. We have atheists and agnostics. But you know what? He thought he might have a solution. 1965, he'd live another 6 years. He had turned AA over to trustees 10 years earlier in 1955. But he thought he had a solution. A declaration. Something that everyone would understand, whether you're atheists or agnostics, whether you're dogmatic, whether you're religious, everybody would understand. He brought that declaration later in the summer to Toronto, to Maple Leaf Gardens. It was AA's 30th anniversary international convention. Its theme was responsibility, and thus the responsibility declaration that everyone should understand as the very mission of Alcoholics Anonymous. In an extraordinarily moving event, after Bill's speech on July 3rd, 1965, at Maple Leaf Gardens in downtown Toronto, more than 10,000 delegates, trustees and AA representatives from 21 countries rose to their feet, joined hands, and led by Bill, recited for the very first time the brand new AA Responsibility Declaration. It's a declaration that all the agnostic meetings that I know of, except one, use at the end of their meetings rather than say, you know, the Lord's Prayer. You can remain seated, but please, I would ask you, if you wish, to join me in saying it. I am responsible when anyone, anywhere, reaches out for help. I want the hand of AA always to be there. And for that, I am responsible. Thank you, John. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Freethinkers in AA. Thank you, we agnostics. And thank you all for listening to me today. Thank you.
Well, that's it for another episode of AA Beyond Belief, the podcast. Hope you enjoyed spending this time with us. Next weekend, we'll be back with another episode. This time, we'll be talking to Erica Kay, who comes from my home group. She'll be telling her story about how she learned to fit in with traditional AA. I think you'll like this one. Until then, take care and be well.